need to win. That's what we're talking about. To me, it would have to be somebody comes to me and says, "Hey, listen, it's a complete blowout or something." And then you still have decisions to make as well. So we're going there to win the game, regardless of who is in the game. We're going to win the game, and so none of that's going to change for any of the players, any of the coaches. We talked about it this morning. That's just not where we're at right now. And I feel like if we keep we stay mentally focused on that, then everything else will just kind of take care of itself.
Coach Matt Nagy of the Chicago Bears talking about the implications of the game in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, between the 49ers and Rams. What will they do? I expect a lot of Chase Daniel in the second half, because the 49ers game is going to be out of control, in my opinion, very early on. And the other thing with that, before we get back to the phone, 610-632-0975, is Mitch Trubisky has been like kind of getting himself back into playing shape. So can they afford to really take him off the field? He needs that work. You might take Howard and Cohen and don't give them much run, or the receivers. You may not give Allen Robinson and those guys a lot of run defensively. You might take Khalil Mack off the field and some others. But as Nagy just said, they're trying to win that game. And why do they want to play Minnesota a third time? Even if it's in Chicago, why do you want to play that division opponent a third time in one season? We've always heard about it. It very rarely works out in your favor by letting that team in. Handle your business. Eagles get in there. Yes, they're dangerous because of Nick Foles, but handle your business, Matt Nagy.
All right, so here's my question for you. You're Matt Nagy, or you're the members of the Chicago Bears. You're all 53 guys on the roster, all right? You think you can handle that, Devon? You're all 53 guys on the one roster?
Yep.
Would you rather face your divisional opponent for the third time or the defending Super Bowl champions? Even though the defending Super Bowl champions haven't played at the same level as they did last year, but they're starting to heat up a little bit. Coming in hot into the playoffs. The hottest team going into the playoffs is always a team that you should be worried about. Would you rather play the Vikings for the third time or Nick Foles and the Eagles?
Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champions there, Andrew. Get it right. Once you get in the playoffs, you know those guys, again, have that thing just hovering over Nick Foles and the team. What do you want to do?
Who would you rather? I'm asking you the question. Who would you rather face?
I would rather play the Minnesota Vikings in Chicago.
So then maybe the Bears don't want to win.
Well, that's just me. I'm not the head coach. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Rick in West Philly on 97.5. What's happening, Rick?
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Good afternoon,
I'm
man.
I'm going to talk about the Sixers and the Eagles.
Go.
First, I'm going to talk about the Eagles. All right, here we go. All right. Now, you know, like I know, it comes down to dollars and cents. So you're going to be in a position in a short period of time where you're going to either have to max out Wentz, or you can get Foles for less money. So if you look at it logistically from a financial standpoint, it would be in the Eagles' best short-term and long-term interest to, since Nick Foles has proven himself, to go forward with Nick Foles at a lesser dollar amount and see what you can get for Wentz. I'm not hating on Wentz. I'm just looking at it from a reasonable standpoint, that if you just let Foles walk and you put all of you go all in on Wentz, and God forbid he gets hurt, that's going to be a bad situation.
It would be a bad situation, man, but that's where they are, in a tough situation to figure this one out. And again, I look at it as, if I'm paying Carson Wentz, it's going to be a tough decision for Nick Foles as well. It's going to be a tough decision all around for everybody involved, because the Eagles have to decide on Wentz. Then the negotiations on Wentz's side, are they going to take less because they're going to throw the injury history at him? And then Nick Foles deciding what he wants to do with his future, as Derek Gunn just pointed out, it's going to be a lot on the line for a lot of people.
I think it's come to the point where it's either Nick Foles or Wentz. It hasn't been that to this point, been able to keep both. But I think this is where the rubber meets the road.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, it's going to be a choice. It's going to be one or the other. Now, check it. The Sixers.
Yes.
All right, here's the deal. I got to bash Brett Brown, man. The team, regardless of how good or not good the team is in the NBA, is a direct reflection of the coach. They are not having the intensity that is necessary on the defensive side of the ball, and they do not have enough impetus. They do not put enough importance on each possession of the game. That's why they're making turnovers, because it's a reflection of Brett Brown. He's like too passive. Like, he's like, oh, they're just going to be a measuring stick. It's where we are in the season. Heck no. I'm not going to use profanity on the air, but you know what I want to say.
Can't.
Heck
yes.
No. This is a big game. No, it's a big game, man.
It was a big game, Rick. Thanks for the call, man. It was a big game, and there has been that conversation about Brett Brown, how he's too passive. I've always heard, well, more so in the past, where he hasn't held guys accountable enough. And when I say guys, we know who we're talking about. The high draft picks, whether it be Michael Carter-Williams, Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, even on down to these players currently on the roster with Embiid, Simmons, and Fultz not being held accountable. When we bring up the fact that Ben Simmons doesn't shoot or he turns the ball over six times in one quarter and he has a bad stretch because he keeps jumping in the air, getting himself too deep in the paint, jumps, turning around and pass the basketball, and it's a turnover, that's the teaching point. But when you call the guy over and say, you know what, come sit down next to me, my man. Come have a seat. But does Brett Brown have that kind of cachet? There have been veterans in that locker room who openly question what Brett Brown is doing. It's just a fact of how he treats these young players. And you see Embiid openly talks about things. You have to talk to the coach. I'm not getting enough touches in the fourth quarter or stuff like that. Now, he should have touched the ball in overtime. He's probably gassed. He played 40 minutes in that game against the Boston Celtics on Christmas Day. He was probably gassed. But so what? He needs to touch the basketball. And you also need to make it a point to your point guard and anybody else, get that man the ball. And simple stuff. Why do you not throw a great entry pass as an NBA player? You have a great post player. You have two other okay post players with Simmons and Butler. How come only Wilson Chandler, TJ McConnell are the ones who can throw really good entry passes if it's not in the hands of Butler and Simmons? It's not good. Well, Landry Shamet is okay, too. But still, fundamental stuff.
And the problem for Brett Brown is it's not Landry Shamet coming out and speaking on Brett Brown's behalf in a negative way. It's Joel Embiid. And even though Ben Simmons isn't really saying anything, if he is questioning Brett Brown, it's Ben Simmons. If Jimmy Butler starts questioning Brett Brown, it's Jimmy Butler. It's not TJ McConnell. It's not Wilson Chandler. It's the three stars of your team. And we already hear Embiid saying stuff out loud. You know, what is Ben Simmons saying? What does Ben Simmons say if Brett Brown does go up to him and say, yo, you need to shoot the ball more? And Ben goes, no, coach, I don't want to.
No, he just shakes his head and says, okay, and just doesn't do it. Dave in North Philly is next on the Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, Devine and Andrew. I just wanted to talk about this Foles thing. Like, going into Sunday with Washington, is there any lack of confidence you have whatsoever in Nick Foles not getting it done on Sunday?
No, and if you heard Derek Gunn, Dave, he spoke about how things are a mess. They just got rid of DJ Swearinger because he challenged the defensive coordinator. And you look at what this team is focused to do right now, the Philadelphia Eagles, I have the utmost confidence because they speak so highly of him. And as we pointed out, they just have this thing hovering over him where they want to play for the guy. So I have the confidence that he's going to go in there and get the job done, but we're still relying on what happens in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think that's a special thing. As an Eagles fan, it's a rare thing. It's been a rare thing for decades. And that confidence is something that, you know, I would love to keep around. You know what I mean?
But at what cost?
I think we could get him for that $20 million, I think, because it sounds like he wants to stick around. You know, what he was saying after the press conference, it was kind of like, yo, man, meet me halfway.
All right, but what are you going to do about the contract situation with Carson Wentz?
I think you get some guys in the boardroom, bring in Jeffrey Lurie, Rosen, Doug Peterson, and you talk it out because, man, Foles is a special, special, special quarterback. Because do you think Jerry Jones would let him walk?
Well, Jerry Jones, he does weird things. He's about to give $100 million to Dak Prescott, so I don't think that's a good barometer.
Well, all right, do you think Robert Kraft would let him walk if he was on – if he had just done, you know, this thing over there? I mean, they made a decision a while ago, similar thing with the Bledsoe thing. But I don't think Belichick, you know, would let him walk.
Well,
you
know,
I think that's what we have to consider is, I mean,
I think a lot of it, Dave, is dependent on what happens. Thanks for the call. In the next couple of weeks, over the next month, and how far they go. LeVar Mount Airy joins us next on the Fanatic. Var, what's happening, man?
What's up, Dave? What's going on, man?
Oh, not a lot. Little Sixers, a lot of Eagles. What you got, man?
I got a little bit for both of them.
I knew you would.
With Nick Foles, man, I think what he has to consider is that it's a business aspect of it. And as fans, we are fans of the jersey, of the organization, as more so than the individual. Every now and then we get enamored with particular individuals, like people are enamored with Nick Foles because he brought us the Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, he's going to make a business decision because this is his last chance to make that business decision. So if somebody's offering him $20-25 million for 2 years while they groom a young quarterback, he's going to have to do that, and he may end up being back here.
Well, why didn't he do that with Cleveland, even though they had the number one overall pick and
because
they got
Cleveland
Baker Mayfield?
Cleveland is a cesspool of BS, and I think that it would have hurt him more than anything, mm-hmm. because he would have went there and failed again like he did at the Rams, and people would have said, "Oh, he's just a system quarterback; he can only succeed under a certain system," and he doesn't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thought Cleveland was going to be potentially 8-8 if they win this week. They'll finish the season 8-8.
Right.
Nobody saw that coming this year because of, you know, they were like, what they had like one win in the last two years prior to that. So
right.
I wouldn't have wanted to go to Cleveland. But I think he's going to have to make that decision, and the Eagles can't afford to keep him because we need too much. You have to re-up Carson Wentz.
You have to re-up Carson Wentz. So are you comfortable doing that at the end of the season, especially if Nick Foles walks?
You know why?
You have to.
I think Carson is going to humble himself. He's going to mature. And he's going to realize that in order to play in this league, see, what happens, a lot of these young guys come in the league and their minds at a young age, our minds will always tell us that we can do more than what we can actually do. And the league will humble you. And I think that's what he's seeing now. You can't do what you did in high school and college and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the right play, get the ball out of your hands, because the more you have the ball in your hands, the more of a target you'll be. And you can't keep taking those hits year in and year out. His body can't sustain it.
And they got to build that off. They have to rebuild that offensive line going forward. Real fast on your Sixers point.
From the center to the left.
Yep.
Center, left guard, left tackle has to be rebuilt.
Yep. What you got on the Sixers?
I think in order for this to work, number one, I think either Brett Brown has to go or he has to run another system. And he has to start holding these young guys accountable. He's trying to be a player's coach, and I get it, because in today's society with social media and things like that, these kids are way more sensitive than what they were back in the day.
Yep.
So you got to walk a fine line with these guys.
And when you have Parker and Ginobili and Duncan Vaughn, thanks for the call, different types of guys, and you were the assistant, so you didn't have to hold guys accountable like you did now, like you do now, because you are not Greg Popovich. You were the player development guy. Got to stand up to these guys and make these players earn it. 610-632-0975. Frank, Gerald, Jeremy, Keith, hang on. We got two open phone lines. 610-632-0975. Eagles contract stuff with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, plus the Sixers talk with C-Rat Sohi's article about how the three players, Butler, Simmons, and Embiid, all ready for her. Is it time to admit that it's a fail? Way too soon, right? Andrew Salchunas, Divine Games, middays on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic, the 12 o'clock hour, is brought to you by Tropicana Atlantic City. Celebrate New Year's Eve with dazzling fireworks on the Tropicana Boardwalk. For more info, visit Tropicana.net. If you want to join us and join in on the conversation, Eagles and Sixers, 610-632-0975. The Independence Bowl, Temple Owls, Duke Blue Devils, they kick off here at 1 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, live from Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. So again, Temple, Duke Blue Devils, 1 o'clock. So we run out of here in about 40 minutes. So we have plenty of time to check in with you guys about both the Birds and Carson Wentz in the contract. Are you comfortable giving him a contract extension upwards of $100 million. And what do you do with Nick Foles with his $20 million option? That's up to the Birds first. It's a mutual agreement, but it's up to the Birds first as to how they want to go about things. So I'm assuming that's a conversation that they just simply have, figure things out. What does Nick Foles want to do? You just heard LeVar talk about how it's a business decision at this point for Nick Foles. But he's just that different kind of cat where you look at him and you say, this dude might actually decide to stay here and be a backup. Or you might want to go elsewhere and get that one last chance to be a starter in the NBA. So we'll see how it all plays out. A lot of it is contingent on what he does here going forward with the Birds if they make the playoffs. We assume he's going to have a good game against Washington on Sunday. But then what? In the playoffs, if they get there. 610-632-0975 and the C-Rat Sohi article on Yahoo Sports where the headline reads, is it time to just admit that the 76ers' three All-Stars just don't work together? No, it is not, because it's only been 20 games since they've all been on the floor together. And Ben has missed a game. Joel has missed a game. Jimmy Butler missed two games. Can we give them some time to figure some things out and see if Elton Brand can finish the roster construction of putting this team together where this basketball team is going to be complete? It's not complete yet.
They also had about like 3 games in 4 days when he first started, so they didn't even have a chance to practice. Like, they literally just said, Jimmy, try to figure it out. Jimmy, right. Ben, Joel, figure it out. They didn't even have practice. Like, what are we talking about here?
It's weird. It's very weird.
Like, I get it. Remember when the Phillies lost opening day and they were 0-1 and a lot of people wanted to fire Gabe Kapler? I was kind of questioning that as well, but I would also be ridiculous to want to fire someone after one game.
Yeah, you're complaining.
It's also ridiculous to say something like this isn't working after 20 games where each of the three guys has missed time. I don't know. I have nothing else to say. It was very well written, very poorly thought out.
Yes, it's too early, way too early. 610-632-0975. Frank and Martin joins us next on the Fanatic. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, man. Good afternoon. How are you?
I got two foods for thought here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, this article that was written about the three superstars. What they're basically saying is that the coach is the problem. He is a D-plus, C-minus type of coach, if you think about all the coaches in the NBA. Just think about this. What would Larry Brown do with this type of talent if he had them?
You know what Larry Brown would do? He would make an adjustment, and that's what he did with Allen Iverson once he figured out that Allen Iverson could not run the point and they needed some other type of talent around them to make better use of his skill set and his talent overall and for the best interest of the team. That's why he shifted him to the two guard and put a bunch of role player defenders around him, and they became, as I know Mike says it a lot, and that's one of the best coaching jobs we've ever seen by Larry Brown. At this point, when he drafted Ben Simmons, he said he was a four. He said it. He said he's a four. Then, once the summer league rolled around, he said, Ben Simmons is my point guard. I think he said it on Mike's show, as a matter of fact.
Well, I think he's got to go. I mean, if that's my voice, he's got to go. They got to find somebody with experience that can take this talent. They are loaded with talent. I would say that their starting five is equal or just below Golden State. They're that good. They just need a coach.
Well, I think as much as I like Wilson Chandler and that deal, Frank, to bring him in, thanks for the call, I wouldn't say they have a great starting five. I think they have a really good starting five with J.J. Redick as your fourth option, and Wilson Chandler as your five is okay, but he's not great. I would prefer Wilson Chandler come off the bench. You should have a better fifth starter out there on the floor for the 76ers. Very good, I think, but once they have to play too many minutes and the bench overall and the depth doesn't give you what you need, then that becomes a problem. Gerald in New Jersey joins us on 97.5. G, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
Good. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you, man. Listen, man, we've been talking about this for a long time. Ben Simmons has to shoot the ball. I keep hearing that he's working hard in practice. Everybody sees him shooting jumpers. But honestly, man, I don't care how good he looks on Howard Katz's driveway. This dude's got to shoot jumpers in the game. Period.
He's not going to do it this year. You have to wait till next year.
No, it's not. Then that's no good, man. That's no good. I mean, he has to just start shooting. You know, it was sad when I got a Bleacher Report alert that the longest jumper he's ever made was 22 feet the other night. I mean, I'm like, come on.
Well, that's, you know why it's not sad to me? Because I don't need him to be a three-point threat. I need him to be a mid-range jumper threat.
Right. But here's my bigger issue. One of the problems we have with this team is we need to have Joel on the box more. And half the time when we get into our offense, Ben, after he does that initial pass, he becomes a liability because now his best position is to be on the box, but that closet's the middle for Joel.
Yes, it does, and that's why we see Embiid on the perimeter quite a few times because they want to give Ben Simmons that operation, that room to operate to get to the cup.
Yeah. So I'm a little frustrated, man. I'm gonna be honest about it. I'm a little frustrated. I'm sure I'm not the only one, though.
No, there's a lot of frustrated people with him not shooting, and as you just pointed out, that 22-footer that he made the other day in desperation going with the shot clock winding down, he's not going to shoot the jumper, G. He has to make his free throws to kind of offset the lack of ability to shoot from the outside, and if he's not going to do that, he's just going to hold himself up to being criticized a lot. He is only on the floor for a second straight year. So there is room for growth. It's up to him to decide how good he wants to be and what Brett Brown is going to do in the meantime with him on the floor.
Yeah, the last thing I'm going to say is about the Eagles, man. If the NFL messes up and lets them get in the playoffs, we're going to make some noise.
Oh, there you go. Well, listen, man, I think that's what we all want to see, man. Thanks for the call. It starts on Sunday in Washington, and, of course, it starts on Sunday in Minnesota with the help from the Chicago Bears. Keeping it moving on the phones, 610-632-0975. Keith is in Philly talking both Sixers and Eagles here on the Fanatic. What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's up, Devon? Happy
doing?
Holidays to
Same
you,
Same to you, man. Thank you so much.
This is your boy Keith calling you. My first point is about the Eagles. The Eagles got a real dilemma on their hands if Foles make another run. Because if Foles make another run and he's willing to accept that $20 million for another year, I'm giving him that $20 million. Mm-hmm. And Carson got to wait until the next offseason.
Wow, you're going to get it. But who's your starter next year?
I'm gonna let Wentz be my starter.
So you're going to pay your backup $20
million? That's right. I'm going to pay him the $20 million. No, that's my plan.
Yeah, that's your plan.
You know, you asked me.
I asked you.
That's my plan.
That's your plan.
Okay, now. When it comes to the Sixers, leave Ben Simmons alone. Ben Simmons is averaging a triple-double, shooting 60% from the free throw line, and can't shoot a jumper. Now, if that's not telling you this kid is transcendent as far as his talent is concerned, nothing else will.
But when you want transcendent, you want a little bit more, even in year number two. So if you're not going to shoot and you are averaging close to a triple-double in year number two, shooting 59% from three, make your free throws to bring that up a little more to offset the lack of outside shooting that you don't give to this team.
Absolutely. But I got another year or so for him to grow and get better on his contract.
Well, listen, not a year or so. You're going to give him an extension next year.
Next year?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm still giving him his money because I want to see him get better. And I want to make another quick point and get off the phone. I want to see Joel be quiet, play ball, and I don't want to say shut up and dribble, but at the same time, his problems with Brett Brown or how Brett Brown is using him is something that a leader is supposed to take up with his coach behind closed doors. He's not supposed to do that stuff in the media.
Well, I don't think he's the leader of this team. Thanks for the call. I think that's more J.J. Redick and even Jimmy Butler at this point because those young guys – I guess they just haven't really displayed that type of leadership in terms of Simmons and Embiid as of yet. So I would lean more towards J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler as the leaders of this basketball team. So as I pointed out earlier, Brett Brown not holding players accountable over all these years, this is what you get when you have players like Embiid speak out publicly on things. The veterans, I know for a fact, the veterans have had issues with how Brett Brown has handled some of these young players over the years. No matter what veteran it might be, Jared Bayless and a few others going all the way back, not holding players accountable. And when you have a star player like Joel Embiid, all-star players can say what they want. They can speak up. No big deal. They can speak up and say what they have to say. Sometimes you just have to pick and choose when you do it. 610-632-0975. Join former Eagle Jason Avant, Bob Cooney, and me this Sunday starting at 1 o'clock for the Fanatic pregame show live from Fishtown Hops at Sugar House Casino. If you say, Devon, why are you starting at 1 o'clock? The game is at 1. Nope. Flex to 425. Stay and watch the game with the Fanatics. Andrew Sauchunas on Fishtown Hops is huge. It's 10x10. Big screen, dollar dogs, $2 Miller Lite drafts, and $12 Miller Lite buckets, and plenty of free parking. That's presented by Sugar House Casino. Philly loves a winner. Supported by Visit Philly and Gerhard's Appliances. Back get on the phones, Jeremy and Abington talking some hoops. Jeremy,
hey,
you're on 97.5. How you doing,
thanks,
man?
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Okay. First of all, let me preface, longtime Sixers fan, 40 years old, huge Eagles fan. Here's my issue with the 76ers. It isn't scoring. We're scoring 110 points a game, 120 points a game. The problem is we make every guard look like a Hall of Famer. Spencer Dinwiddie.
39.
So if you honestly follow this team, we can score with anybody. We can't stop anybody. And we can't stop guards. Is there any chance we could get, maybe a Patrick Beverley to play with Ben Simmons to just shut down a guard? That's the issue, I think.
But here's the only thing. When you bring Patrick Beverley in here, while you'll get that fierce competitor, the defensive acumen that he brings to the floor and what he helps with the team, he's also a non-shooter.
Okay, that's true. I didn't even think about that. I think,
he shoots better. He's a willing shooter, but he's just not that good at it.
Okay, so then I guess what's the answer? Because we can blame Simmons on the shooting, and I agree the guy's got a shoot, but I think the Pages corner should.
Oh, can you talk into the receiver, man? I can't hear you say no.
What I'm saying is I agree with the previous caller that it's not all Ben Simmons' fault. Yeah, he needs to shoot more. But the guy's averaging almost a triple double. I'm not blaming him.
Well, here's my problem, Jeremy, and I say this all the time. It's how did he get the triple-double and how did it impact the game? That's all. And listen, he almost had a triple-double against the Toronto Raptors that first game when he played against Kawhi Leonard, but he also had 11 turnovers. So he almost had a quadruple-double. So that triple-double right there is negated because you had 11 turnovers. You know what I'm saying?
I agree, but most times when he does get triple-double, the Sixers win. And I'm not saying that's every stat. That's not that important. But I think overall, if you follow the Sixers, which a lot of these people do, we can't stop any guard. Kemba Walker put up 60. We're going to get – who are you playing for? You told Jazz. Mitchell's probably going to put up 50 tonight on the Sixers. I think until they figure that out, we're not beating anybody. And, Brett Brown has issues. I agree with you. He was good in the beginning holding this team when they were terrible, but we need someone else in here. But that's, I think, the biggest issue. We got to play defense on the ball.
Yes, the defense.
And I don't know what the answer is there, who it is. I don't know whoever you think. What do you think? What can we bring in there?
Well, see, I think it's – you know why I think it's hard, Jeremy? Thanks for the call, man. Good stuff. Here's why I think it's hard, because you gave up Covington and Šarić to acquire Jimmy Butler. What else trade-wise is really out there for you? Now, T.J. McConnell does have some trade value, but if you believe Adrian Wojnarowski and, of course, Key Pompey had put some stuff out there about the Phoenix Suns liking T.J. McConnell at the beginning of the season, it's like a late first-round pick. It's not necessarily players, and the Trevor Ariza thing is now gone. So who on your roster are you trading to improve your basketball team? So I think really it's about the buyout market. Again, like Bellinelli and Ilyasova provided for your team in March to add to your club and see where you go from there. If you make a trade, it's going to be minimal stuff. You want star power names back in the trade. Maybe not as high as Jimmy Butler, but Courtney Lee. I like Justin Holiday because he's a 6'7 wing, can hit the open jumper and defend, stuff like that. He's athletic. That's the type of player you need right now. And then I know some want a little more at the backup five spot, or you want more at the stretch four position. That's not Mike Muscala. Things along that line. A better guard that's not named TJ McConnell.
Well, that's where you got to hope that Fultz actually does come back. Well, if you buy that.
But I can't count on him, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Honestly, I know you need another wing shooter. I would love to see another big man. Because when Joel Embiid goes off the court,
how many minutes is he going to play?
He had to play 40 minutes the other night in overtime.
He did.
So when Joel Embiid goes off the court,
hit his shot,
and he's soft on defense. You need another big man. Amir Johnson would have been great.
I would have put Amir Johnson in for 5 to 10 minutes to see if he impacted some way physically in the paint. Period. That's what
I
would have
done. Agree, but Amir Johnson, let's say you make a buyout or a trade for a guy like Amir Johnson, but Amir Johnson 5 years ago. You know what I mean? When he still had his legs from underneath him. You need another big man to give Embiid 10 minutes of rest.
I thought Amir Johnson was good last year. This year wasn't necessary to really bring him back. The problem, too, is Rashawn Holmes was not one that you could really count on defensively. He's playing well in Phoenix, but that's a younger team with not a lot of expectations, so he's playing kind of free like he did even before when they were rebuilding. So Amir Johnson is probably not going to cut it. I would have given him minutes against the Boston Celtics on Christmas Day. Brett Brown decided not to. Mike Muscala couldn't hit a shot. Maybe the pace was too much for Amir Johnson and the thoughts in the mind of the coaching staff, but I would have done it. Now, to your point, yes, there probably is room for a backup big to come in and give you some minutes to spell Embiid a little bit, but when it comes to playoff time, man, he's got to roll Joel Embiid. He's got to suck it up. I don't want to see any of those misses like he had in game number 5 against Boston where he had a layup opportunity because he was fatigued, his conditioning wasn't right. That's not an excuse this year.
No, you're right. So if he's playing 5, 10 minutes.
If he's playing 40 minutes in a playoff game, depending on how the game goes and what he's giving you and what Brett decides to do in terms of leaving him in there, I don't care who the backup is. I don't.
Well, even if you keep him on the court, and again, let's just use Amir Johnson as an example. You put him at the 4 for 5 minutes. Not as a stretch 4. Obviously, you're not going to put Amir Johnson as a stretch 4. The guy can't really shoot.
No, he can't shoot.
He can't shoot. He tries to shoot.
No, he shot puts those threes. Yeah, it's okay. I'm all right one time a game. But
nah,
no.
I'm not. Pass it up. But you need a guy to help out Embiid because I remember Tyrone Johnson, producer of the Mike Mussinelli Show, put out a stat before the season started that Joel Embiid traveled the most ground on offense and defense out of every player in the NBA last season. And last season was his first full season.
And that was 60-something games.
So think about how much ground he's traveling. And when he's off the court, think about how much ground is being missed because he's not on the court. So you need somebody else even for a couple of minutes to help him out defensively because Mike Muscala, when he's on the court at the same time as Embiid, he's not helping him. He's not.
No, he's playing that stretch 4 spot. Right, he's not. Well, he gives you that spacing where you have more room to operate if you're Joel Embiid. That's one thing about it. He does give you that spacing where they can't pay that much attention, but he has to knock down the shots.
Well, on offense, I'm talking defense.
Defensively, yeah, because he can't defend fours who can move. Thaddeus Young out there in the perimeter, he can't defend that guy, right? Jeremy Grant, call him what you want. Jeremy Grant can run. You can't ask Mike Muscala to defend Jeremy Grant if he decides to take him off the dribble. You just can't do it. T.J. Warren playing for Phoenix, if he's playing the 4, he's going to take him off the dribble. I would. That's what I'm asking him to do.
I mean, you saw just against the Celtics, Kyrie just attacked right at Muscala. Muscala just had his hands up.
As he should.
And there was nothing. This is not even going out to cover somebody. This is him just quote-unquote rim protecting Mike Muscala.
Yeah,
you need help.
He's not a rim protector.
I know everybody wants a guard. I know everybody wants somebody who can shoot on the wing. And yes, those positions are needed. But when I need my best player to get 5 minutes of rest, I can't have the guy that comes in to allow 10 points in a span of 5 minutes and the lead evaporate in a matter of seconds.
Okay, I'll give you something real weird here. And I know Vinny wants to talk about Ben Simmons.
I talked to Vinny.
This is where I'm going. Ron, too. We'll get into Ron and Vin as we close the show out. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm okay giving Ben Simmons 5-7 minutes at the center spot. I'm okay with that. He's 6'10". This is a different league. As long as it's not Jonas Valanciunas there.
Right.
It depends on who's that center that I have him out. If it's Bam Adebayo, no. If it's Ryan Anderson, yes. If it's Kyle O'Quinn, yes. I'm okay putting Ben Simmons at the 5 spot for a couple of minutes.
And we've seen that a couple times this year.
Minimal.
A couple times,
but
yeah.
I would do it. As long as he's not in foul trouble, I would do it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
1246 97.5, the Fanatic Andrew Salchunas, Devine Gibbons. Final segment for us before we hand things off to Harry out there, Harry Donahue out there in Shreveport, Louisiana, to talk, well, to call the game, Temple, Duke, Independence
Bowl. I just wanted to play the Sixers song today.
I know you did. I know you did. A lot of people. It's an all Eagles show. We mixed in the C-Rat Sohi article and got people talking about some things. And of course, the Christmas Day game did not help things overall as we close down the show here. Don't forget, on February 1st, guys, it's the Super Bowl weekend. Friday, February 1st, join the Farzetta and Trey Morning Show as they host Philly's inaugural Super Bowl weekend and tailgate party at the Met Philadelphia. You know Jamie and Bob will be there. The Fanatic is teaming up with the Philadelphia Cornhole League to throw the biggest cornhole tournament and tailgate party Philly has ever seen. You want to play? Go to 975thefanatic.com to register your team for a chance to play on the Mets huge stage. Okay? Just want to party? If you don't want to just play, just want to party, go to 975thefanatic.com right now and download your free tickets. It's Farzetta and Trey's Super Bowl weekend, and it happens Friday, February 1st at the Met Philadelphia. Get your tickets now, 975thefanatic.com. Okay. Let's go to the phones, run these phone calls before we get out of here, hand things off for the Independence Bowl. Temple Owls, Duke Blue Devils. Ron and Media is next on the Fanatic. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thank you.
First, I want to hit on the Sixers real quick. Jimmy has, what I see from Jimmy, he's brought more defense to the team, team defense. I've actually seen him physically push people into position on screens. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. Yep.
Guys on the floor.
Yep.
And the 2 weeks ago, Sixers won three games in a row. Those three wins, we held the opponents to under 100 points. The games they're losing, we're giving up 127, 131. Mm-hmm. The coach has to come up with a philosophy and get these guys a defensive identity. Just like y'all was talking about Larry Brown. Larry Brown told his players, if we hold the opposing team to 90 points a game, y'all have done your job. If you don't do that, you haven't done your job for me. We know we're not going to, in this league, we're not going to hold the guys to 90. Maybe 102. If you hold them to about 102, 105, I think the Sixers are scoring, what, 112, 115?
Mm-hmm.
If you can hold your opponent to 105 points, 100 points a game, you're going to win. They have to do something. I don't think the coach is going to do it. He's not going to come up with a scheme that fits this team defensively. Some of the games that they lost, when they have leads, they're doing the same things over and over and over and over again. They had a 12-point lead one game I watched. They jacked up five threes in a row and missed all five. The lead went away, and they lost the game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem, and the coach, you're right, the coach has to figure that out. And again, man, we got to call guys out and be held accountable for certain things.
Exactly. Now, as far as the Eagles, if I feel as though if Foles runs a gambit, gets them guys to NFC Championship, the Super Bowl, and most definitely, if he gets them the Super Bowl, we win. You're gonna have to trade Wentz, and I would take two number ones and a number two, or two number ones and a legit running back. And I mean, you know, we can rebuild the offensive line, and of course, the coaching staff has to go back to running the game. I got to ask you this question. I was thinking about this the first game that Foles came back, we scored three rushing touchdowns in that game. Has there been any other game this year where they scored three rushing touchdowns?
I don't know that off the top of my head, Ron. Thanks for the call. I don't know that. I think Josh Adams had one in that game. Wendell Smallwood had two. That was against the Rams.
That was Nick Foles' first game, and that's when Wendell Smallwood said, "We got our Nick Foles will miss his swagger."
Yeah, I don't know what kind of swagger he has. I just think he's cool. don't know if they had three rushing touchdowns any other time. I don't know.
I mean, who would have scored? You know what I mean?
Corey Clement was struggling. Wendell Smallwood may have had one. Josh Adams wasn't really in it yet. Jay Ajayi went out early. I don't think so. No. Don't think so. Nope. Let's go to Vinny in West Philly. I know Vin wants to talk Ben Simmons without even looking at the comments. Vin, what's up?
What's up,
what's going on?
Hey, it's such a shame that Nick Foles got to win another Super Bowl just to prove he's a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a shame.
Hold on, it's just the starting quarterback for the Eagles. Yes, not in the league. We think he can start
in the league. I'm saying for my team. I don't want him to play for no other team, but time will tell.
You move on from Wentz already.
Time will tell, Devon. And I'm going to tell you, time will tell, dog. Time will tell. Wentz gets another ring.
Okay.
Time will tell.
All right.
Hey, listen. Basketball is a game of matchups. Would you agree?
Matchups and runs.
Okay. So lately, the point guard has been tearing us up, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is Ben Simmons a point guard?
Sometimes.
Okay, well,
I'm not going to say yes. Sometimes he is.
Okay, he's named a point guard. My point is, like, if he's a point guard, I've been watching basketball for 35 years. Your point guard matches up with the other guard's point guard normally 90% of the time on the floor, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're fouled or something like that, right?
Yeah, but we know it's a different game right now.
No, we know we don't know that, Devon. Stop saying it. That's not true.
Well, when I see Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague starting in the backcourt for the Minnesota Timberwolves, even if that's what they have to do, it's a different game where they can play both of those players. They're both point guards.
Devon, I agree with you. You can have both of those guys. You know why? Because both of those guys can handle the rock. They can shoot, pick and roll. They can do all the point guard things. Ben Simmons cannot listen, man. I'm not gonna get on him, but Ben Simmons got way too many flaws for just an ordinary basketball player, Devon.
All right, what are his flaws, Vin?
His flaw, okay. One, he can't shoot. Hey, that's
we know that,
right?
Yeah.
Two, he can't defend a point guard or two.
It depends on who it is for me.
Three, he can't really dribble the ball. You never see him dribbling the ball inside the paint, dribble penetration, keep his ball. He always pick his dribble. He go 90 miles an hour and pick his dribble. That's a bad, very bad thing for the team.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yes.
And I can go on and on. Like he's soft. He don't. That's four. He don't know whether to shoot with the right or the left hand. This is obvious.
Ben, I'm about to hang up on you, man. You're breaking down our point guard too much, man.
I'm glad you asked me, Ms. Floyd.
Go ahead, because we got about 30 seconds anyway. Go ahead.
It's going to take me 30 minutes, okay? Listen, he can't shoot free throws, right? And he don't work on his game.
I wouldn't say he doesn't work on his game.
Well, what about all the
We're not in there in the offseason to say he doesn't.
What about all the seven things I named?
Well, those are problems, and I do agree, Vin. Thanks for the call, man. We got to get ready to hand things off for the Temple-Duke game. Those are problems, and that said, he's still a very good player in this league and for this team, Drew. Listen, man, good stuff from Vin and everybody else who called in. Thanks so much to Derek Gunn for joining us a little earlier. We have Temple-Duke Blue Devils coming from Shreveport, L.A. Andrew.
Louisiana.
Shreveport, L.A. in the Independence Bowl, and Sixers Jazz later on tonight here on the Fanatic. So thanks to everybody out there. Really appreciate the interaction. Andrew and I will be back tomorrow, 10 o'clock, and for the midday guys for the final time this week. So enjoy the game coming up. Enjoy the rest of the shows tonight and the Sixers later on. Hopefully they can beat the Jazz. Jimmy Butler probably shut down Donovan Mitchell. So enjoy the game. Enjoy the rest of the night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.